As we come to God's word, first of all, let's pray. Please pray with me. Father, your word is open before us now. We pray that our hearts would be as open as the book that we have open before us now. Speak to us this afternoon, we pray. Remind us of the power of your word. Encourage us in our faith this afternoon, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 10, starting at verse 1. Brothers, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, that's the people of Israel, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And then our text this evening, verse 12 through to 17. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. What a foolish nation I will make you, with a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long have I held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. So far, God's word. Well, we live in the day of instant news and entertainment. It wasn't like that back in the times of the Bible. We were reminded this morning, as Ezekiel got the news of this destruction of Jerusalem, that it took about 6 months for someone from Jerusalem to make their way through to the captives in Babylon. Even in World War II, reports of the war and films that were played in theatres took a couple of days, if not a week or two, to come here to New Zealand to give the people of that time an update as to what was happening. But nowadays, it's instant. I remember when the first Gulf War started. I remember exactly where I was. I was in a computer shop on Lambton Quay in Wellington, and you could see, and there was a news flash, and you could see the Allied troops on camera, entering into Kuwait, and the planes and the tanks. It was there instant. You could see it blow by blow what was happening. Nowadays, we have social media. We have Snapchat. We have Zoom. We have Skype and so many other different things. We have YouTube. We have live streaming so that people at home can be watching us and listening as the word is preached this afternoon. You can listen to anyone and everyone online. You can spend some time listening to your favorite preachers, sometimes even live. And the lockdown taught us this great new invention, church in jammies. Not sure whether you're at home in jammies at the moment or not. That's your prerogative. And in light of this, in light of all of this wonderful access to media, everything at the touch of our fingertips, in some ways, the humble sermon can seem a little bit ho-hum. Maybe even sometimes a little bit dull. Not very powerful when you compare it to some of the glitzy presentations and displays that you can follow along on the internet. The viral YouTube clips that you can download at your leisure. But nowadays, we have the Bible printed for us. Prior to the Reformation, very few people had their own copy in their own language. Nowadays, you probably have several Bibles at home, many sitting on your shelf. They're ready for you to take out. You can read it yourself. You could find the truth yourself. You can consult commentaries and things on the internet. Why go and hear a preacher? But the Reformation rightly put things back to where they should be. They recognised that our fathers, the reformers, the power and centrality of God's word being preached. The power of the call of the gospel. The centrality of God's word preached by preachers as part of God's plan in his word to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we continue through the canons of Dort, this evening we consider the role of the preaching of the gospel in bringing people to faith. And that brings us to our theme this evening. The call of the gospel brings us to faith. The call of the gospel brings us to faith. 3 points as per usual. The first point being, if you call, you will be saved. If you call, you will be saved. In this section of Romans, Paul has been dealing with the people of Israel. Israel's unbelief, a notoriously challenging section of Romans to try and work your way through. What does God mean by Israel? What does he mean by that they may come back or not? All those questions are there in these areas, in these chapters, but we're not going to delve into that tonight. But as he talks about Israel, as he talks about the Gentiles or the Greeks as it is in the ESV, Gentiles in the NIV, the question is asked, has God given up on Israel? And Paul's answer is, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But what is clear, is that regardless of whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, there is only one way to Jesus Christ. And it is only through Jesus Christ that you can be right with God. Paul expresses in Romans 10 a desire that the people of Israel would be saved. That there would be a return to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we hope and pray today that that would be the case. But God isn't just God of the Jews or God of the Greeks or Gentiles. He is Lord of both. And the answer to how to be saved is really a simple question. It is not, as they say, rocket science. Now, in one way, as it began, rocket science was pretty simple. You put a bit of fuel in a rocket, you lit it and hoped that it wouldn't blow up. But nowadays, it's much more complicated. The now retired space shuttle had 2.5 million separate parts that all had to work together to get this up into space. I couldn't find how many million parts are in the latest spaceships, probably classified information. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it comes to salvation, it is actually really simple. And our passage tells us that. How can you be right with God? It's there in verse 13. Really simple. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You simply need to call on Jesus Christ. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You call on him. Who can come to him? Everyone. Everyone who calls on him will be saved. It's a really simple maths equation. On one side of the equation, you have the number of people who call on Jesus Christ. On the other side of the equation is the number of people who are saved, and it's the same number. This number equals this number. Those doing maths exams this week, the maths doesn't get any simpler than that, and I'm sure you're going to have more complicated questions this week. But when it comes to being saved, it's really simple. It's really simple. Absolutely everyone who calls on Jesus Christ will be saved. And if it is that simple, just simply coming to Jesus Christ and trusting in him, why do we have all this theology? Why do we have the canons of Dort? Why do we have 66 books of the Bible and 4 confessions to help us understand these truths? Well, why it is simple. Understanding the truth of Jesus Christ, living out that truth and that faith in your life actually takes all of us a lifetime. It's probably happened in your home with children. I know it happened with at least one of our children. They start off at the age of 5 and they go to school. And after a couple of weeks, one of our children came home and said, "That's it, I'm done. I've learnt it all. I don't need to know anything more. I know my alphabet. I know my basic facts. I don't need to go to school anymore." Well, we explain to them that no, there's an awful lot more to learn, and there's a lifetime of learning for you, darling. It's the same for the Christian of faith. For the Christian faith, it's a simple truth. Believe in Jesus, place your faith in Jesus, trust in Jesus Christ, but it's a lifetime to make that, to work that out in our lives. But how do you know who to call on? What to call? That brings us to our second point this afternoon. How can you call? How can you call? One of my favorite books as a child was a book entitled How Things Work. I used to think it was written by Richard Scarry, but it's not. And in this book, it had all these pictures of cutouts of cities and what happened behind the scene in cities and planes and cars and boats, this little pictures and diagrams. Maybe Mr. Reitzma has a similar one for, do you have a similar one for learning at the moment? Yep, picture book?
Same book.
Or the same book, how planes work. There you go. And here in our passage, we also get a behind the scenes look of how things work. There's a chain here that verse 14 shows us, and each part of that is connected as the Apostle Paul works backwards. He begins with, "How then will they call on him in who they have not believed?" How will they call, secondly, on how they to believe in him, I should say, on whom they have never heard? How can you call on Jesus Christ if you don't believe in him? But how can you believe in him unless you've heard about him? And how can you hear about him, the next part of the chain, unless you hear someone preaching about him? How can you hear unless someone preaches? And it's preaching that he dwells on the rest of our passage this afternoon. How can someone preach, he says, unless they are sent? Speaking here of a commissioning, a sending out with a specific task. Points to the sending of someone to proclaim the gospel, to be a herald, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, specifically called and sent by God. The passage here is a reference to Isaiah 52, verse 7. And in Isaiah 52, we have this, this is before the famous passage of Isaiah 53 of Jesus as our Savior, as the suffering servant. But in Isaiah 52, we have the picture of someone coming back from Babylon. At the moment in Ezekiel, we're dealing with the exiles in Babylon, but the picture in Isaiah 52 is an exile, a member of the exile coming back from Babylon with good news, running over the mountains into Israel saying, "The exiles are coming back. The exile is over. The people are coming back to Jerusalem. It's good news. It's wonderful news. God's people are coming home back to Jerusalem." What wonderful news that herald would have had as he brought that news back to the people in Jerusalem. But it's also clear, attached to that herald coming is also the pointing of a herald in chapter 52 and 53 of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Saviour coming. Brothers and sisters, as a pastor, I have one of the best jobs of the world. The responsibility to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also the privilege to proclaim that gospel. Sunday after Sunday, sermon after sermon, a message of hope to sinners like you and sinners like me. A message that God's word says has power. Power not in me, but power in the word itself that I get to proclaim. But the question you could ask at the moment, at this moment in time, is what makes preaching so special? Aren't we all called to proclaim the gospel? Why are you just saying preachers? Well, it's clear from our passage here that it is someone who's sent. It's a specific office that's being talked about. Or a specific task, I should say, not office, but a specific task. Being sent to proclaim as a herald. And in the Reformation, part of the call was to bring the centrality of the preaching of the word back front and centre. And God places significance and power in this word. That's why we have God's word throughout, central. And the preaching of the word is central to our gathering together as God's people on a Sunday. Now, this isn't universally believed throughout the world. We had the opportunity once to attend a Roman Catholic Mass, and the priest there gave this lovely, brief message that had absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. You see, in a Roman Catholic Church, what is central is the Mass of Jesus Christ, not the Word of God. Some people say, or you may have heard it said, it's not actually God's word that it's important, it's how you live. But brothers and sisters, we show as Reformed people our theology, our belief in the preaching of God's word, as we respond to God's word. When we believe God's word preached makes a difference for the believer and the unbeliever. Maybe God will use you to proclaim the gospel. I hope he uses you to proclaim the gospel to someone at some stage of your life, more than once. But at some stage, you're going to have to bring that person to come and sit under the preaching of God's word. Not that that's the only thing, not that that's going to save them, not that they can only be saved if they come and hear a pastor preach. But recognizing that the primary way that God uses people, that God uses his word to help people understand and live his word is through the preaching of the word. That's the primary means of grace, as our confessions say. Coming and sitting under God's word. Because God's word has power, not the preacher. And man, don't I know it. Not in the preacher at all, but in God's word itself. How can we call? Because we hear God's word preached. But there are two responses to the preaching of the gospel that Paul mentions. It's helpful for us to consider those this afternoon as we consider the effectiveness of the gospel. Our final point this afternoon is two responses to the call. Two responses to the call. One of the worst jobs in the world, I think, would be being a cold caller. Boys and girls, do you know what a cold caller is? I see some blank faces there. It's a job where you just need to go and walk and knock on someone's door and try and sell them something. That's what cold calling is. I know my response many times to someone who comes to the door, no thanks, not interested, is they're trying to sell you insurance or phone or power or whatever they're trying to sell you. I really hate to have that job. Knocking on door after door and getting rejection after rejection, I would begin to feel like a failure. But sometimes we can think the same of the gospel. We can think that the gospel fails. When you proclaim it to someone, when you tell someone about the gospel and they say they're not interested or they won't even let you begin. We can think the gospel fails when we bring our family members and extended family members to a Christmas service and they hear the gospel preached and it just doesn't seem to make a difference at all. If anything, it may even make them even harder to the gospel. Well, that was the case for Isaiah, for Ezekiel, as we've been hearing, and that was the case for Jesus Christ himself. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles open, to the book of John, John chapter 12. John 12, we're going to pick up at verse 36. Notice the similarity in the words here that we read from Romans 10 as well, in verse 16. John 12, verse 36. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they would still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. And then dropping down to verse 41, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Does the fact that not every single person who heard Jesus Christ responded to him in faith mean that the greatest preacher who ever lived was a failure? That Jesus, while he was the greatest preacher, just wasn't always quite on his game? Oh, no, it doesn't, isn't it? It can't mean that. Jesus was always on his game, if we can put it that way. And Heidelberg Catechism that we confessed, question answer 84, helps us in this light. We confessed this earlier. The kingdom of heaven is closed, however, by proclaiming and publicly declaring to unbelievers and hypocrites that, as long as they do not repent, the anger of God and eternal condemnation rest on them. So as people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and reject the gospel, that doesn't mean that the gospel isn't effective. Far from it. It means that as people harden their hearts, the gospel itself is condemning them. The kingdom of heaven is closed. Remember, God's word always has an effect. The gospel will always achieve the purpose for which God has sent it. And sometimes that is hardening the hearts of people who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. That can be a hard truth to consider, can't it? But the preaching of the gospel leaves people without excuse. But there is another response, and we see that in verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The preaching of the gospel brings people to faith as they hear it. As the gospel works in their hearts, as the Holy Spirit works in their hearts and takes the word and turns it into belief, bringing people to call upon the name of the Lord, a call that will be answered. So my question to you this afternoon is, have you answered that call? Have you answered the call to Jesus Christ? Now, boys and girls, this isn't just a call for those of us who are grown-ups. It's a call to you as well. Have you called on the name of Jesus Christ? Jesus calls you to believe in him, to come to him, to trust him, to obey him. Because in him is life, eternal life. And brothers and sisters, all of us this afternoon need to be reminded of that call of the gospel in our own lives. Be reminded that we belong to Jesus Christ. And because we have called on him, we will never, ever be lost. All who call on him will be saved. If we have called on him through the Holy Spirit, he will never, ever turn us away. Life is busy, isn't it? We're bombarded by news, by likes, by hearts, by hugs, and whatever else Facebook has added there now, by instant messages, by direct messages. It's good to be reminded sometimes of the simple faith and the simple truth of the gospel that reminds us that we are secure. So as you hear the gospel preached every Sunday, savor it. Give thanks for it. Remember that it's the gospel that brings us life, that brings us to faith. And pray for your preacher as he brings that gospel week in and week out. A number of weeks ago, I had the privilege of speaking at ordination service, I should say. And at the service, I had this passage in mind, and I said to them, I want to tell you a little secret about Joshua. At this time, Josh started to get a little bit nervous in his seat. And I said, well, Josh, it's okay. You've made your vows, so any secret will be okay. And I said, Joshua has beautiful feet. And people in the congregation sniggered. And I said, well, actually, I have never seen Joshua's feet. But God's word in Romans tells us and reminds us that how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the word. What a blessing, what a privilege for pastors to do so. But as I concluded to him, I gave him this charge from the Apostle Paul's writings as well. And it's a message that we should claim and you should ask of me week in and week out. My encouragement to Josh was this. Preach the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less. Brothers and sisters, that's what you are to require of me as well. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in some ways it is just really simple. Calling on the name of Jesus Christ and we are saved. We thank you for that simple truth in our hearts this afternoon. We pray for those who have not yet called on the name of Jesus Christ, be they here this afternoon, be it in our wider family. Lord, we pray that they would call. We pray for the preaching of your word from this pulpit, from pulpits throughout New Zealand, from pulpits throughout the world, that the gospel would simply and clearly be preached. We thank you that the power is not in the preacher, but in your word. We thank you for that and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand now and sing from number 404. How shall they hear the word of God? Number 404, we'll sing all three stanzas, I should say. Number 404.
Shall they hear the word of God unless his truth is told? How shall the sinful be set free, the sorrowful consoled? To all who speak the truth today, impart your spirit, Lord, we pray. Shall they call to God for help unless they have believed? How shall the poor be given hope, the prisoner reprieved? To those who help the blind to see, give light and love and clarity. How shall the gospel be proclaimed that sinners may repent? How shall the world find peace at last if heralds are not sent? So send us, Lord, for we rejoice to speak of Christ with life.
closing hymn is number 117, Praise Jehovah, All Ye Nations, number 117. People of God, here is blessing to you this afternoon. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Number 117.
Praise Jehovah, all ye nations, all ye people, praise proclaim. For his grace and loving kindness, oh, sing praises to his name. For the greatness of his mercy, constant praise to him accord. Evermore his truth endureth, alleluia, praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, folks.
Thanks,
Al. Thank you. Oh, this morning, is it?
Yeah. Okay. 11 years and...